He heard a voice coming from the forward deck. Esterhazy. Aloysius, it called out. You hear me? Come out with your hands up. Surrender. You do that, and we'll turn the boat around. Otherwise, we keep going. Hurry!
Pendergast, his 45 drawn, didn't move.
If you want us to turn around, come into the open with your hands up. It's November. You know better than anyone how cold the water is. I give her 15 minutes, 20 at most.
Again, Pendergast did not move, could not move.
We've got a waypoint of her location on the GPS, Esterhazy called out. We can find her in minutes.
Pendergast hesitated for a final, excruciating moment. He could almost admire Esterhazy's brilliant ploy. Then he raised his hands over his head and walked slowly forward. He came around the fore cabin to see Esterhazy and two other men standing on the forecastle, weapons drawn.
Walk towards us slowly, hands over your head.
Pendergast obeyed. Esterhazy came forward, took the 45 out of his hands, and stuck it in his own waistband. Then he searched him. The search was thorough and professional. Esterhazy removed his blades, a 32 Walther, packets of chemicals, wire, and various tools. He groped through the jacket lining and found other tools and items loosely sewed up inside. Take your jacket off. Pendergast removed his jacket and dropped it on the deck. Esterhazy turned to one of the others. Cuff, secure, and tape him, completely. I want him immobile as a mummy. One of the men came forward. Pendergast's hands were cuffed behind his back with plastic straps. His mouth was sealed with duct tape.
Lie down, said the third man, speaking with a German accent.
Pendergast complied. They cuffed his ankles, then taped his wrists, arms, and legs, leaving him prone on the deck and unable to move.
All right, Esterhazy said to the German. Now tell the captain to turn the boat around and pick up the girl.
Why, said the man. We achieved our objective. Who cares?
You wanted him to talk, right? Isn't that why he's still alive?
After a brief hesitation, the German spoke to the captain through his headset. A moment later, the boat slowed and began to turn. Esterhazy checked his watch. Then he turned to Pendergast.
It's been 12 minutes, he said. I hope you didn't hesitate too long.
Chapter 75.
Esterhazy took up a dock line. Help me tie him to these cleats, he told Schultz. His mind was working a mile a minute. He'd been faking bravura and an aura of command, but right below the surface, he was almost beside himself with fear. He had to figure out a way to save his own skin now, but nothing came to mind.
What's the matter, Judson? Falconer had said. You suddenly don't trust us? I'm surprised and hurt.
Esterhazy realized that the chances were good. He was as dead as Pendergast. The boat had come around and was now slowing as they neared the waypoint. Esterhazy moved to the bow, searching for the young woman, while two spotlights from the bridge scanned the heaving sea.
There, said Esterhazy, as one spotlight picked up a flash of reflecting tape from the life preserver.
In a moment the yacht had reached her, slowing still further and turning. Esterhazy jogged aft and snagged the life preserver with a mooring hook, hauling Constance around to the stern. Falconer came aft, and together they pulled her onto the platform, then carried her through the transom and into the main saloon, where they laid her on the carpeted floor. She was semi-conscious but still breathing. Esterhazy quickly felt her pulse, slow and thready.
Hypothermia, he said to Falconer. We've got to bring her core temperature up. Where's the woman?
Goethe? She locked herself in the crew quarters.
Have her run a lukewarm bath.
Falconer disappeared while Esterhazy removed the life preserver, unbuttoned and slipped off her soggy dress and underclothing, then wrapped her in a dry afghan that was folded on a nearby chair. He put plastic cuffs on her wrists and a much looser set around her ankles, leaving just enough slack for her to walk. A moment later, the woman arrived with Falconer. Her face was pale, but she was composed.
The bath is running.
They carried her through the saloon to the forward stateroom master bath, where they lowered her into the lukewarm water. She was already reviving, murmuring something as she went in. "I'm going forward to watch Pendergast," Esterhazy said. Falconer looked at him for a moment, a searching, calculating look. Then he smiled crookedly. "When she's revived, I'll bring her, and we'll use her to make Pendergast talk."
Esterhazy felt himself shudder. He found Pendergast where he had left him, Schultz watching over him. He pulled up a deck chair and sat down, cradling the gun and looking carefully at Pendergast. This was the first time they had been face to face since he'd left the agent, critically wounded and sinking in the quicksand of the Foulmire. The man's silvery eyes, barely visible in the dim light, were as usual unreadable. 10 minutes passed as Esterhazy went through every scenario, every possible plan, to get himself off the Vergoltung. To no avail. They were going to kill him. He'd seen it in the look Falconer had given him. Thanks to Pendergast, he'd caused the Covenant too much trouble, too many men, to remain alive himself. He heard raised voices and saw Constance being pushed along the portside walkway by Goethe, the red-headed woman, the threatening murmurs of Falconer following. In a moment, they emerged on deck. Zimmerman had joined them. Constance was wearing a long white terry cloth bathrobe with a man's jacket over it. Falconer gave her one last shove, and she fell to the deck in front of Pendergast.
"Feisty bitch," said Falconer, dabbing at a bloody nose. "No problem reviving her. Tie her to that post."
Schultz and the red-headed woman pushed her toward a lifeline stanchion, then tied her to it. She did not struggle, instead remaining strangely silent. When they had secured her, Falconer straightened up, dabbed his brow, and cast a cool, triumphant expression at Esterhazy.
"I'll handle this," he said in a clipped tone. "This is, after all, my area of expertise."
He ripped the tape from Pendergast's mouth.
"We wouldn't want to miss a word the man says, would we?"
Esterhazy casually glanced up at the bridge, a row of faintly glowing windows on the upper deck above and aft of the forecastle. He could see the captain behind the wheel, Gruber, the mate, to one side. Both were absorbed in their work, paying no attention to the drama playing out on the foredeck below. The vessel was now heading northeast, paralleling Long Island's south shore. Esterhazy wondered where they were going. Falconer had been more than a little vague on that point.
"All right," said Falconer, taking a swaggering turn in front of Pendergast.
He holstered his weapon and slid the combat knife out of its scabbard.